Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Every 4 minutes, over 50 kids under the age of five die in the same 4 minutes. Two mothers lose their lives in childbirth, and every year malaria kills over a million people, despite the fact that it can be prevented with a mosquito net and treated for less than a buck and a half. Now, sadly, this list goes on and on. Millions are dying from diseases that we can easily prevent, inexpensively as well, and diagnose and treat. Why is the question? Let's get to the answers and more. Dr. Eric Bing is the director of the global health at the George W. Bush Institute and the president professor of global health at SMU, Southern Methodist, in Dallas, Texas. He combines his training in medicine and business to help solve global health challenges. He's the co-author of a book called Pharmacy on a Bicycle, Innovative Solutions for Global Health and Poverty. Dr. Bing, we're happy to have you here today. Whoever came up with the title of the book is a genius, and I'm interested in that. Pharmacy on a Bicycle, what does that mean?
Well, Pharmacy on a Bicycle is really about how do you get solutions for healthcare to people in ways that is accessible to them and was affordable to them, and to really be innovative and entrepreneurial. And we see many people putting pharmacies on bicycles simply to get care to people. And this is the kind of innovation that is happening all over the developing world and is now beginning to save lives.
It's an attention grabber, just the title alone. Congratulations on that. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
Dr. Bing, when one of the examples you use is of the NH Heart Hospital or Heart Process Hospital in Bangalore, India. So I visited it last year and talked to their cardiac surgeon and anesthesiologist because they say they can deliver cardiac surgery for roughly $2,000 a patient. At the same quality as we do in the United States. So obviously the Cleveland Clinic is known for heart care, and a lot of our processes, that is just the plastic tubes, et cetera, that we use in heart-lung machines and the drugs cost us more than, considerably more than $2,000 just for our forgetting time, forgetting operating room expenses, forgetting blood usage, forgetting anything else, just the plastic tubing and the mattresses and such that we use cost us more. And so I was curious, how much of the reduction in costs that you've seen, and I don't know how closely you studied this, but you use it as an example, how much was due to personnel cost reductions versus supply cost reductions, and can we, what can we learn from this?
Well, that's an excellent example. You know, and the example that you're talking about, Narayan Hrudayala, which is a cardiac hospital in India, back in 2001, really began trying to save lives to cardiac with patients with cardiac disease in India by opening a for-profit hospital and really reducing prices through efficiency. And, you know, cardiac care is really important because if you sort of think that we're losing about 13 million people a year just from cardiac disease, but this is actually a major issue. One of the things that they were really focused on is how to use business models to improve efficiency. And so, therefore, one of the things that they've been able to do is to reduce costs through personnel by task shifting activities that might be done by doctors or other high-priced people to much lower-priced technicians, to really reduce the amount of time that doctors are not working and are not doing things that doctors don't need to do in seeing patients. But they're also able to create efficiencies by manufacturing many of their own products. And so they, in some ways, take out the middleman with some of these things. They also are really focused on making sure that doctors know exactly how much money they're making, because the way they see the poor is by making enough money on the wealthy that they can support the poor from the overflow. And so they get feedback every single day about how efficient they're being in the care that they're doing. And that kind of feedback loop, I think, is very, very powerful in helping the physicians make decisions about how they spend their time and what they do.
So part of the ability to lower cost, as I take it from that, is a shifting from, for example, surgeons or first assistant surgeons to technicians, and to lower the costs of personnel, and then actually the personnel earn less for the same position in India. But another part of it is, in fact, manufacturing their own tubing and their own drugs at a much lower cost for that tubing and drugs than they did in the United States.
Absolutely.
So the question then, and I don't want to get in the ethics of it, but obviously in the United States, we charge more, for example, for the plastic tubing. And I don't think it's any better, but it obviously has some patents associated with it and proprietary information that allow the pharmaceutical company and the drug and the device manufacturer to raise the prices. How much is related to that versus, did you ever get to say, what would be the equivalent cost if we brought this process and procedure to the United States, or is that were you not able to do that?
Well, one of the things that that NH is able to do, so I think it's more than just that, because, you know, NH's cost of a cardiac surgery is about 5% of what we charge here in the U.S., but they're also significantly cheaper than other cardiac hospitals in India. So in a place that actually has all the same resources and all the same opportunities, they're being much more effective in delivering care, and that has to do with the business processes that they've done, that they've worked around all of their services. So it's more than just cheaper products. It's the way they're using them, the way that they're employing them. And what they're doing, NH was really, really good at this, but they're not the only one that's doing this. You also have another organization called Aravind that came years before, 20 years before NH, and did the exact same thing in cataract care by focusing on the business of healthcare. They were able to significantly reduce cost of health cataract surgery so that many, many more people, very, very poor people, can actually get cataract surgery.
Well, what is impressive is that they actually use some of the profit to support people who are poor and having it for free. Let me go to another question, which one of your the titles in this same heart chapter brings up, the elephant in the room, non-communicable disease. And I look at the elephant in the United States and say 75% of our medical costs is due to our own choices. And obviously, it's crowding out social programs. It's crowding out education and defense now. How do we use what you've learned to change our behavior patterns enough to have us reduce a substantial part of that 75%?
Okay, and that's actually a really great question. Because what you're talking about is that much of the disease that we see in the U.S. is due to some of the choices that we're making, whether it's smoking, whether it's lack of exercises, or things that we're eating. I think one of the things that we have learned in developing countries is that as we move things from clinic-based and doctor-based to community-based care, people in the community are able to be much more effective at supporting each other and getting people the care they need. I think if we sort of look at even the work on social networks that's been done here in the U.S., is that if we're around people who smoke, if we're around people who are gaining weight, then we do it too.
Well, come back, Dr. Bing, and we'll take more of that. We're talking with Dr. Eric Bing, one of the two authors, along with Mark Epstein, of Pharmacy on a Bicycle, a fascinating book on innovative solutions for global health and poverty. Wonderful examples.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Eric Bing is the co-author of Pharmacy on a Bicycle, Innovative Solutions for Global Health and Poverty. The publisher is Barrett Kohler Publishers. Here's Dr. Mike Roizen.
So when we got rudely interrupted by the break, Dr. Bing, we were talking about how to use the social networks or community networks to try and change our obesity and our heart disease and our cancer problem in America. That is 70% or so of our total healthcare costs come from chronic disease treatment that's under our control by managing stress, eating smaller portions and of healthier food, doing physical activity, and controlling or stopping tobacco usage. How do we get that done? We've been 50 years with tobacco, with every kind of outreach, and we're just, I mean, if we spend 50 years in doing this, we won't have education left in the United States the way the cram down is occurring.
No, absolutely. And I'm really glad that you're raising this, because I think it's a major challenge that we have here in the United States. As I was saying, one of the things that is happening in developing countries is that care is moving from the clinic to the community and from the community to the household. And that's exactly what has to happen here. Is they're doing it by necessity, because they can't afford it, and they're having significant improvements in health. We're also going to be having to do it by necessity as well. And it's something that actually works. You know, I was actually just sort of thinking today, I went running this morning as part of a marathon team. And the reason I got into it is I was walking down in my neighborhood, and I started talking to a woman who was walking a dog, and she was doing it, encouraged me to do it. Well, this is actually an organization that is run by a running club. It's a running club, a for-profit running club. But they actually get people together, and the reason we do it is to have fun. But by having fun and by doing this, we're also losing weight. We're getting better cardiovascular health.
Will we be able to do this fast enough? Is there a tipping point in this? Meaning, is there some point at which we'll all start to do this? Or are we going to, I mean, Mayor Bloomberg gets criticized for being nanny state-ish, if you will, because he's limiting the size of sugared beverages, which is just so obvious that we've got to do this voluntarily if we don't do it. But he said, we can't do it voluntarily. When do we hit the tipping point? How do we get to that point in the United States?
Well, and I think that this is going to really have to happen community by community, household by household. And I think that's actually one of the things that has begun working in developing countries. It is definitely supported by the government, by putting policies in place often that will support people to do this. And often it is supported by nonprofits and even for-profit organizations that are using these government supported initiatives to actually help communities. But ultimately, it has to be the community that says that we're going to do something about our lives.
So do we have to hit the same type of crisis point? In other words, you point out in one of the chapters, and it's a brilliantly written chapter, Mother's Touch, Maternal and Child Health. In Table 9, you have this great task-shifting government health services for women and children and how this went to trained workers and essentially it's a 1 million community health workers to cut maternal and child deaths by probably 45 or 50% if you look at it overall. They cut maternal deaths in Rwanda by 60%, child deaths by 58%. In Ethiopia, maternal deaths by 50%, child deaths by 26%, Brazil 31% each. So how do we have to hit a crisis? Is there any way of doing this before then? Because all of these countries really hit crises in maternal and child death.
And I really do believe that we do not have to hit a crisis, as we take control of this, things begin to change. And in each country that you talk about, there's a different approach because the culture is different, the government is different, the things that you can do are different. In Rwanda, it was very largely a government-supported initiative that then got everybody on the same playing field. In other countries, it's actually been a very different approach, whether that is an NGO that leads the way or a for-profit corporation that may lead the way. Each country is going to do it a little bit differently. And I think the same thing is true here. Each state will do it differently. And within each state, each community will do it slightly differently. And I think having options for communities to choose and then moving forward is the way we're going to have to go. But what I think is important is recognize that government has a role to play, nonprofits have a role to play, and businesses have a role to play. And I think often we sort of think about this as that it's either one or the other. It's not that at all. It's really all of us.
And that's really the lesson of Pharmacy on a Bicycle, how the three sets, business, non-government organizations, and government, can work together with the community to radically change health. Joe?
Dr. Eric Bing. The book is called Pharmacy on a Bicycle. It's published by Barrett Kohler Publishers. Let's get in, if we can, the Real Age Tip of the Week with Dr. Mike.
And this week, it's 10 ways to get more benefits out of your workout. When you're in a time crunch, you want to get the most out of every minute you spend working out, right? I know I do. And although there are a few ways to do this, here's the most important exercise safety rule of thumb. Always, always follow good form. Never sacrifice form for weight. Never sacrifice form for time or intensity. 1, think Botox. Keep your face relaxed and tension-free. 2, keep your gaze at eye level. The simple move prevents neck strain. 3, relax those hunched shoulders. Drop your shoulders as low as they comfortably go. 4, lift your chest slightly. 5, lengthen your spine. Imagine a string pulling on the top of your head up to the ceiling. 6, tighten your abs. Strong abs help support your lower back. 7, never lock your knees. Keep knees slightly bent. Always keep your toes lined up to prevent overstressing your knees. 8, breathe. Count reps out loud to avoid holding your breath when you do resistance exercises. As you inhale, relax your lower abs and fill your chest. As you exhale, suck in your abs to force the air out. 9, keep moving between exercises. It keeps your heart rate up. And 10, as you get stronger, work out more. With cardio, go a little longer, a little more intense. With weights, add more reps or lose slightly heavier weights so you don't have to do it longer. The Real Age Benefits, a physical activity program that builds stamina, strength, and flexibility, as well as cardio, makes you your real age for men as much as 8 years younger and women 9.1 years younger. And that's the Real Age tip of the week, Joe.
Okay, Dr. Mike, listen, miss a show, miss a segment, miss a guest. You can never be in that position. Go to RadioMD.com and check out You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And also now we're on iHeartRadio Talk. Try it out for free. Go to iHeartRadio.com and download the app or use it on the web. Check it out. Have fun with it. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea, and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi there, I'm Juliana Rancic.
And I'm Bill Rancic.
I love my job as an entertainment reporter, but what I love even more now is being a new mom.
And you are a great mom.
Thanks, honey. Very proud
of you, honey.
Thanks.
Like any responsible parent, Juliana and I wanted the best for our little son, Duke, and that includes a healthy future. We know firsthand that life is pretty unpredictable. We didn't anticipate getting Juliana's cancer diagnosis or even having challenges with pregnancy. I don't think anyone does. Mm-hmm. But as parents, we can plan for the unexpected.
That's why we want to share our decision to bank Duke's cord blood when he was born. The blood in a newborn's umbilical cord contains millions of young, valuable stem cells that are used to treat childhood conditions like cancers and blood diseases and are being studied as potential therapies for cerebral palsy and even autism.
Julian and I are proud to partner with Cord Blood Registry and the Healthy Futures Campaign to help raise awareness about the value of cord blood and the options for saving or donating it.
We encourage you to take action for your family's healthy future. Go to parentsguidecordblood.org to learn more.